There's a pasuk in Mishle that Shlomo HaMelech says, I think it's very apropos to Rav Zonenshine, Sifatayim Yishak Meshiv Devarim Nechochim, Mamash, beautiful words that really are spot on, Birshuto and Birshut Kol HaTalmidim. Tonight is a very, very, it's an interesting night because I just came from Masiyim, which was unreal. Rav Zonenshine spoke about Rashi in the Daf Yomi. We're going to miss Rashi for two Masechtas now. Nedarim and Nazir both don't have Rashi, so that's a big loss for us. We'll see him right before Pesach again. So, but now coming to the really focusing on the Yahrzeit, it brings back a lot of warm memories, nostalgia. I remember the day that Maran Zichrono Livracha was Niftar Leginzer Meromim. I was actually in Kolen at the time in Yechavedat in his Kol. That was a day, and I remember that day until today, that was a day that the world went dark. At the end of this week's parasha, and for the next few parashiot in Seder Bereshit, we are introduced to the persona of Avraham Avinu. There's a very interesting midrash about Avraham Avinu that also applies very much to Maran Zichrono Livracha. The Midrash says, actually, Midrash Abba Parashat Chayesara, that when Avraham Avinu passed away, all of the kings of the world came to Avraham Avinu's Levaya. Even some of his greatest adversaries, people who were very, very much against him when he was alive, they came. And all of the kings of the world took off their crowns and surrounded his coffin with their crowns as a show that, you know, as a show of kavod, that he was the greatest. Maran Zichrono Livracha was not only the Avraham Avinu, but the Moshe Rabbeinu of the generation as well. Even at his Levaya, you saw cropping up some of his greatest, for lack of a better term, B'chaye Chayav, his greatest misnagdim, came and were mechubed to speak words at his Levaya. It was an unbelievable sight. And the world understood that they had lost the king of the generation, Gdol Ador. Now, I don't have to get into his Gadlut Batorah, because there's kim'at, not a subject, not a miktsoa in Torah, under the sun, that you can learn like a mensch, at least in our generation, without dabbling in Maran Zichrono Livracha Sfarim, whether it's Yabia Omer, Chavedat, Chazon Ovadia, Lichot Olam, Tarat Abayit. I remember I visited Gaon Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg's house, Alav Shalom, and I remember on his table he had a Tarat Abayit open several times. That was his Tarat Abayit. But obviously Abi Omer is Maran Zichrono Livracha's magnum opus, but Tarat Abayit is just as. If you ever learned through Tarat Abayit Gimel Chalakim, it's something out of this world, as were all of his funim. If you look in the first two Chalakim of Yabia Omer, you'll see some pretty impressive haskamot. Interestingly, not only from Gdolei Ador Sfaradim, but even from Gdolei Ador Ashkenazim, not even, but especially. The famous story that one time the Brisker Rav, Yerushalayim Shel Mala, the Yerushalayim of old, that was teeming with Gdolim from both sides of the aisle, once the Brisker Rav came to visit the home of the Chabina Rav, something that had to do with the Klal. Chabina Rav was Gaon Adir. Maran Zichrono Livracha quotes him affectionately many times. And there's both in Chelek Aleph and Chelek Bet, there's Haskamot from the Chabina Rav. The Brisker Rav didn't give Haskama. The Brisker Rav, when Chelek Aleph of Yabia Omer came out, he came to hand deliver it to the Brisker Rav, Maran Zichrono Livracha, and he read through it, and then the next time he saw him, he says, Zeir Gut. That was the verbal Haskama of the Brisker Rav to Yabia Omer. So once the Brisker Rav visited the Chabina Rav, and the Chabina Rav had a Yabia Omer on the table. So the Brisker Rav in Arabic tells the Chabina Rav, no, I'm kidding. He says, tells him, Ichmein as the Mechaber Vetzain Agod Lador. He says, I think, it seems to me that this Mechaber is going to be a Godel. To which the Chabina Rav replied, Ichmein as Ershain Agod Lador. He said, first volume of Yabelma came out when he was 30. The Chabina Rav says, you don't have to wait, you don't have to wish, he's already the Gdol Ador. Those were Geone Ashkenaz. Not only that, I don't know if you ever heard of the Teplika Rav, also Gaon Adir, who was the Rav of Beis Yisrael, who all of the Gdolim in, you know, from the next generation, Rav Frank, Dain Fisher, Maran Zichron Levracha, Rav Shlomo Zalman, they all got shimush in many aspects of halacha from the Teplik Rav. Hagaon Rabbi Shimshon Aharon Polanski, that was his name, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. He also could never stop raving about Maran Zichron Levracha. Very well-known fact that Maran Zichron Levracha, in his early married years, joined the very elite kol. After learning in Porat Yosef, when he got married, he went to a special kol. The Rosh kol was Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. He had the Rav of Yerushalayim. You might know, is Rav Sachs is a nin of the Har Tzvi. So he was in his kol with other gedolei olam, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. They're all in that kol. And at first, they were a little bit hesitant about why, you know, they didn't know I was with this, you know. I guess they couldn't use the term Frank in that kol, but, you know, that's, but they didn't know why he was being accepted. The Har Tzvi made a rule in the kol from the day that Chaim Avadia was accepted that in his presence, Yiddish was not to be spoken any longer. Only Lashon HaKodesh. Only Hebrew, Mishum Kivodo. They shouldn't think, he shouldn't ever feel left out of a conversation because he says this is the next Gadol. In his presence, you don't speak Yiddish. You only speak so that he can understand and be part of the conversation. There are many, many stories I can tell. I heard from, I'm a product of the Meir Yeshiva in Brooklyn. My Yeshiva, Rav Asher Kalmanovich, he told me that when he was younger, one of the most popular shiurim in post-World War II America was given by a Gaon Rav Shmuel Brudny. If the last name sounds familiar, you probably know Chaver Moetzet of Agudas Yisrael, of Elia Brudny, also a Rebbe of mine. His father was one of the most notable Altamirs, and his shiurim were some of the most sought after in the entire United States. People used to come specifically to hear his shiur. So my Rebbe told me when he was younger, very late at night, after Night Seder had ended, many times he had seen Rav Shmuel Brudny in the Eitzar Asfarim, sitting there all alone until the wee hours of the morning, pouring over Yabia Omer, going at tshuva after tshuva after tshuva after tshuva, because it takes a gadol to know one. That's, you know, and that, you know, back then it wasn't, you know, Maran Zichron Levracha's life was very, very politically charged, as you know, and that was all, in his eyes, it wasn't politics, it was a hatzalah of Am Yisrael, and it was part and parcel of Avodat Hashem, but it didn't come without consequence. And yet he bore the burden, l'to'elet haklal. Of the many, many things I can tell you, I want to share with you just a few short anecdotes, just to, you know, really get an idea of who he really was. As the Rav mentioned before, I didn't live on a Kablan, I lived on a Gassi Shesh, which is a little bit down the road, but which is right across the street from Chavedat. So, yeah, I was zochei.
Right off of Kablan.
Right off of, yeah, a Kablan merges. A Kablan splits into Netzanobog and Anagasi. Anyway, interestingly, Chacham Shimon Anagasi was a Talmid Muvhak of the Ben Ish Chai. Long story. Anyway, so so when I was there, I had spent a significant amount of time at that time. Maran Zichron Levracha was already older. He didn't come to the kol as much. He came, you know, once in a blue moon to give a shir. But he mostly was active in his house. He had a shul in his house. His study was upstairs in his house. So I used to hang out over there in the shul. And at that time, I remember when I was in my first year of kol. I was actually, my first year of kol was there as a bachar. I was the only bachar in Yechavedat. I made history. I broke the glass ceiling in Yechavedat in that regard. So I had started that, and I remembered that my first year there, I befriended one of his closest, one of his most beloved grandchildren. His name is Agon Biakov Sasson. He's a friend of mine from Kol. He's Chaim Avadia's mother's son, daughter's son, sorry. And he's a tremendous gaon. He wrote a sefer, La Halacha Ul Ma'aseh, about Piskei Halachot, about clinical death, with the askam of his grandfather. Clinical death. Mavet geza amoach. All the machlokot aposkim about what constitutes clinical death, when, you know, brain death, heart death, when you can pull the plug. Really, really, inyanim shel, you know, mamash, dinei nefashot mamash. And he sat down and he wrote about it extensively, and he got askama from his grandfather. So at that time, his grandfather had asked him to start a project whereby Piskei Halachot and Divrei Musar would be accessible all over the world, his Torah. So Rav Sasson at the time started a project called Halacha Yomit. Halacha Yomit began as a fledgling website. Now again, not Chas V'Shalom as an endorsement for the internet. Maran Tachon V'Cha always used to point that out and to say Bishmo that the fact that we publicize as Divrei Torah on the internet is not in any way Chas V'Shalom an endorsement of the internet, but if you're on there already, let at least there be, you know, good Torah content with Piskei Halachot so people know how to conduct themselves all over the world. And slowly but surely it started being translated and broadened into different languages. Now we're holding it four, almost five languages. And I was approached to be at the helm of the English one. So Baruch Hashem, that's a post that I assume until today. It's Halachot, based on Piskei Maran, that was overseen directly by Maran Zohar V'Chai. We used to take aitza from him all the time, what to talk about, what to say. Sometimes he would tell us, stop. During Sefirat HaOmer, many times he would say, okay, put Halachot on pause for now. Now speak Pirkei Avot. Now speak for a few weeks on Divrei Musar. They had a very interesting cheshbon. But Baruch Hashem, that's a halacha that goes out every day to 40,000 people all over the world. It's an unbelievable thing. So Mikol Makom, when I was there in my second year, after I'd already gotten married and had a child, my first child had some pretty severe gastrointestinal issues. And it wasn't going away, and it wasn't just regular colic or whatever. It was severe. Doctors didn't know what it was. It was pretty bad. And, you know, when you're alone, learning in Eretz Yisrael without family, you know, as a newly married couple, and you have a child with health issues, it becomes very taxing, and it takes away from your menuchat nefesh, and it becomes very difficult to learn. So things became very, very severe. So I asked Rabbi Yaakov, I said, listen, I need you to do me a favor. He said, sure, go ahead. And I said, I need you to take me into Maran Zichron Avracha. At the time, it wasn't Zichron, it was Shlita. I said, I need you to take me into Maran. And I need to get a bracha because he was known, you know, he was known also as, he didn't tout himself at all as a Baal Mufet, but he was very much, I've seen with my eyes, Muftim, that he was very, very anti-Baba. That was, everybody knows that. But nevertheless, Mikoach Torato, Hashem gave him, you know, just like the Pasuk says in Iyov, V'tigzar Omer V'yakom Lach, and the Gemara says, Chazal teach, that Tzadik Gozer V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim Pshuto K'Mashma'o. He had such Koach HaTorah that he was mamash, he worked miracles so many times that I've seen. So I said, I need you to take me into Maran Zichron Bracha. So he said, okay, fine. We made an appointment, and his Kabbalat Panim was usually after Shacharis. So I went for Shacharis, and I saw the Gabbai. The Gabbai actually happens to be Canadian. He's from Montreal. Toronto. And he speaks English. I speak Hebrew, but I spoke to him in English, and he knew that I was coming, so fine. He took me in after Shacharit. I went in with my wife and my daughter, and we went in, and he looked at me for a second, knew me, he looked at my daughter, and he said, Zoti, he asked me in Hebrew, is this the one? I said, Ma Zoti? Zoti shelo margisha tov? And he said, is this the one that's not feeling well? And then I said, yeah. I look at Tzvi, I said, did you tell the Rav anything? He said, I didn't tell him a word. So he just looked at her, said, Taviota. I put her on my lap. I have pictures of this, pictures, videos. I put her on my lap. He, in his, you know, signature way, he, you know, tapped her on the head a little bit, gave her a few pinches and stuff on the cheek. She's a little baby, you know, like that. He gave her, when a girl turned 3 years old, he already stopped touching. You can see from pictures and videos, girls, once they were three, he gave them a bit of hold, but he put their hands above their head, not on. She was a little baby. And he gave her a chara fwa shenema, said, Al tidag. Yavorla. He said, it's going to pass. Mamash. I'm not kidding. That day, there was a turn for the better. And Baruch Hashem, haya kelo haya. Mamash history. Like, in indescribable way, but story's not over. So, I got up to leave. I kissed his hand. And we got up to leave. And we turned around. And Maran Zichron Avraha calls me. He says, Boina, tishiv. Tells me in Hebrew, come back here, sit down. I froze. I'm like, uh-oh, that's scary. So I said, Ken Kvodo? So he tells me, Shamati Rabbi Yaakov. I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Sasson, his grandson, and he tells me in Hebrew that you're working diligently to disseminate my Torah throughout the world with the Halacha Yomit and other things. And he tells me, Ani kol kach mode lecha. I'm like, what? He says, Toda rabba, ani mode lecha mikirev lev. I'm looking at him with horror. Malach Hashem tzevaot mamash, sitting in front of me, and he's telling me thank you. Maran zichrono levracha, that kol ba'e olam, mashkimim lepitcho, gdole olam, you know, when poskim don't have answers, they call him. When there's 1,000 agunot from Milchemet Yom HaKippurim that couldn't be matured, hands down, all gdole olam, all the gdole poskim were afraid to touch it with it. No, I'm not afraid, but it's a scary thing. And they all said, classically, Lechu El Yosef. Everybody knew that he was the address. And he took it on valiantly. And to this day, not one aguna that he was matir, her husband didn't come back. Not one. So, and he's, thank you, then he's holding my hand, said, Toda Lecha, Toda. I said, Rabbeinu Mechila, Ana Lafsik said, please stop. You're Lo, Toda. And I'm like, I'm shaking, and my wife is, I'm looking at her, I'm looking at the Gaba, I'm like, make him stop. It was mamash but the midot, the tohar hanefesh, purity of the neshama, mamash, just to speak to a little, you know, an ant, mamash, to speak with such hishtapchut, thank you so much, and such, I was taken aback. That's something that stays with me forever. Even more than the mofet that he did for me and my family personally, even more than that, is tohar hanefesh. But it's, again, when you look at it that way, it's no wonder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him the shaliach for so many nisim v'niflaot. There were other times, there's many other things I can tell you. This is a story that I've said over to my talmidim before, but I say it a lot because it means a lot. Sometimes people ask me, and you know, in my shiurim, this is one of my trademarks that I got from Maran Zichron Baruch Hu, everything has to have a makor. Everything. Everything has to be based in Shas and Poskim, Rishonim, Vacharonim, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch. It's got, because there's so much fluff, especially in this generation. You know, anybody who's anybody, you know, turns on a camera, puts it onto YouTube, and then he becomes an overnight celebrity gedolador. That's not how Torah works. It's a very dangerous generation. There's a vart from the Panovich Rav Alam Shalom. He once said, there's a pasuk in the Nevi Yeshaya. הנה ימים באים נאום השם, ושלחתי רב בארץ, לא רעב ללחם, ולא שמה למים, כי אם נשמוע דבר השם. Everybody knows, there's multiple songs made about it, that Hashem says, there are days that are going to come, and Hashem says, I'm going to send a famine throughout the land, not a hunger for bread, and not a thirst for water, just to hear the words of Hashem. You know, that is a wonderful thing. But we know that באחרית הימים, right before Mashiach, it's going to be a very, very complex generation. So the Panovich Rav used to say, it was being said kind of chizuk, but also as Dvar Musar, there's going to come a day where Torah is going to be sought after like in a hunger. And the Panovich Rav once said, why is it, what's the big deal? Why is it that we compare Torah in the last generation before Mashiach like a hunger? What's wrong if it's a hunger? Wonderful. What is it that we have to learn from it? What is it that we have to take care of? Says the Panovich Rav, Alav Shalom. He says, when there's a hunger, you know, ask people. I had, from my mother's side, my mother's parents are Holocaust survivors. So I have a lot of stories about that too. I don't look it, but we spoke about this last time. I'm a hybrid. Anyway, so my maternal grandparents are Romanian Holocaust survivors. My grandfather, when I used to come visit us by our house, he had a very interesting habit that any time we would eat, even if he wasn't eating with us, he would sit down and stare at us as we ate, me and my brother. And I felt, it's not dirichet, it's also to look at a person when he's eating. So I asked my mother, I'm like, can you tell Saba to stop? It's like, weird. She said, I can't. I said, why? She said, it's his nachat. Watching his children and grandchildren eat, every bite is nachat, I can't tell him anything. Can you imagine? My mother told me that when they were kids, she grew up in Trenton, New Jersey. So she told me that when they were kids, my grandfather used to take my mother and her sister to the supermarket, not to go shopping, even when they didn't need stuff. They used to go on field trips to the supermarket just to walk up and down the aisles to look at the shefa. That's how scarred these people were. When there's a ra'av, says the Panovich Rav, when there's a hunger, you don't discriminate between good food and bad. whatever there is, you eat. If it's good food, you eat it. But if it's junk, you eat it too. If it's inedible, you eat that too. There's going to come a generation, says the Navi, explains the Panovich Rav, that there's going to be a hunger, such a hunger for Torah, that people are going to devour everything you throw at them indiscriminately. They're not going to be able to be mavdil ben kodesh lechol, ben chokhmah leshtut, ben emet leshekir. That's the last generation before Mashiach. Because of that, he was always, he drilled it into everybody. Everything has to be sourced. He used to say, you know, people think that Anashim choshvim she'ani mekel. He says, ani lo mekel. He used to get very upset. People used to say, he's meko. He said, ani lo mekel. He says, ani yere hora'a. He says, I am afraid to issue psakim. So he says, so why am I sometimes meko? He says, lo al atzme ani somech. He said, ani somech al gedolei olam. How many times do you see psakim from Maran Zichron? Look in the tshuvot. That he, of his own volition, he has a brand new pshat, and he says, this is a psak halacha based on my lamdus. He didn't work like that. That wasn't his derech. Always relying, always being somech on all the dorot hakodmim, rishonim v'acharonim. That was always the trademark derech of Poskei Sfarad. We spoke about it last time by the Ben Ish Chai's Yartzeit from the Pticha in Rav Pe'alim. That was the predominantly Sfaradi derech. So once I heard this story directly from Magaon Chacham David Yosef, the Rosh Bet HaMidrash Ani Chavedat, my Rosh Kailo, and he said that when Maran Zichron Berachah was writing Tarat HaBayit, he had invited Chacham David, who was his next door neighbor, not apartments. Maran Zichron Berachah lived in Akaplan 45, and Chacham David lived in 43, so one building over. So he had asked him, he says, I want to learn with you B'chavrusa, and as they're doing it, they're going to write and edit Tarat HaBayit. And actually from that, Chacham David actually wrote a few Sfarim as Kitzurim of Tarat HaBayit, based on those Chavrusa sessions that they had. Problem was, they would learn every night for, on average, 3 to 4 hours a night, usually between 10 to 2. That was the Chavrusa Shaft. But the problem was that Maran Zichron Berachah couldn't always be consistent during those hours because he had, you know, prior obligations. He had to speak here and give chizukim over there. He traveled a lot all over Eretz Yisrael. So he says, I don't want you to waste time, said Chacham Ovadia to Chacham David. Maran Zichron Berachah said, you know what? When I get home, every night when I get home, I'll call you. And I'll give you 5 minutes to come over, and then you can come over so you can learn your own stuff and you don't have to waste time. Okay, and that worked for a long time. One night, as he walked in, Rabbanit Margalit told Chacham David, her son, she said, you want to hear something funny about Abba? Something weird? So, yeah, sure. She said, you know, every night before Abba calls you, he reaches into his drawer. He had a desk drawer. He had a phone book there. He flips the pages. Aleph, Bet, Giman, he gets the Dalit, David. He looks for your number, and he looks at it. 0022, and he puts it in, number by number, and he calls you same thing every night, same ritual. Don't you think that's a little peculiar for somebody like your father? He said, yeah, you know what, I'm going to ask him. So they learned, and at the end of the session, he says, Abba, I want to ask you a question. I said, okay, go ahead. He said, Ima told me that every night, you know, when you call me, you take out the phone book, and you flip the pages, and you look up the number. You know, in those times, it wasn't like today. Today, Israeli phone numbers have 7 digits. Back then, up until about 20 years ago, Israeli phone numbers had 6 digits. And the area code in Yerushalayim was 02. That never changed. So he says, and you don't have to dial the area code when you're in Yerushalayim. So he says, Abba, you have 80,000 sfarim, be'erich. About 80,000 sfarim that you memorized verbatim, sometimes making, you know, when people read to him, he told them that they were off, they skipped a line, they skipped a word. I'll tell you sipur mitoch. I'll tell you in a second. I'll tell you now. Rabbi Yaakov Sasson used to tell me, Maran Zichron Berachah, besides for having money in the bank, he had money in the house too. Where did he hide his money? In his farim. He used to hide his money in his farm. So he knew exactly which farim not to use on Shabbat, whatever. Anytime the grandkids needed money, Chaim Yaakov Sasson told me a bunch of times, his grandfather used to say, he says, Saba, I need 50 shekin. He says, I need 50 shekin. He says, En baya. Tiftach, shelo tutshuot al shabbat. שוט הרשב"א, חלק ג', סימן קופסה ד'. זה שם תמצא, לך תיקח מתשובת הרשב"א 50 שקל. He used to say, go take. That was his... his bank was the spelling, he used to bookmarks there. Yeah, anyway. So, he asked him, Abba, why can't you just remember 6 digits every night, the same thing? it just doesn't make sense. So Maran Zichron Rucha put his head down for a second and he said, I'll explain to you, but you won't get it. So he said, try me. He said, okay. He says, I'll tell it to you, but in 10 words or less. He says, he told him in Hebrew, Ani lo ohev et mispar telefon shelcha. Do you understand the profundity of what he said? I don't love your phone number. So he said, that's it. That means, Rabotai, everybody has a very specific and limited amount of brain cells that you can choose to, you know, ration to whatever it is that you want to retain. Everybody knows that. But the only thing that you should really use it for is for things that you love. Everybody has things that they love. You remember numbers of people that you love. You remember dates and places of things that made you happy and that you love. All sorts of things like that. Maran Zichron Rucha made a determination to only memorize things that he loved. And the only thing in life that he loved, it's really two things, but they're all the same, is the Torah Kedosha and Am Yisrael. Well, three. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Torah Kedosha, and Am Yisrael, which the Zohar Kadosh says is all one unit. That was Maran Zichron Rucha. There's a famous story also that there's many that I can say that are Merefs and Igri, but one of the, everybody speaks about the Geonut of Maran Zichron Rucha, but it's kind of like Reb Chaim and the Chafetz Chaim. There's a famous Vart that everybody, Reb Chaim was known for his brilliance, and the Chafetz Chaim was known for his tzidkis. Unfortunately, they weren't known for the, you know, they were obviously, but they're not touted for that. Reb Chaim for his tzidkis, and the Chafetz Chaim for his gainus also. Maran Zichron Rucha had a heart of gold, a heart that beated, bled, and rejoiced for Am Yisrael at all times. So much so that Rav Moshe Yosef told me that in his final days, when Maran Zichron Rucha passed away, in the beginning of Tavshin Ayin Dalet, he told him, he had a bad fall, but things deteriorated very quickly, and he passed away relatively quickly from things that weren't supposed to be such major complications. And he asked his father, what's causing you all this tzar? He was in tremendous agony before he passed away. And he said, I'll tell you the truth. You know what's killing me? Maran Zichron Rucha said, at that time, I don't know if you follow Israeli politics too much, but there's a law in Israel that exempts yeshiva boys and kol yungalite from the compulsory draft. It's called Chok Tal. That's a very long-standing law in Israel, and they were trying very hard in the government at the time to overturn it and to start drafting, and it got very close. It was like very, very dangerous. And he had sleepless nights, and he said, the tza'ar that they're doing redifus against the B'nai Torah killed me. That's what he told his son. The tza'ar that they're... Al tige'o b'mshichai. Don't touch my anointed ones. The apple of Maran Zichron Rucha's eye, as much as he loved all of Am Yisrael, B'nai Torah, when B'nai Torah used to walk in the room, even, you know, yeshiva boys, and not even a millionth of his stature, his face would light up. He would be exuberant, biyotzei mekelav, like the Gemara says in Masechet Ketubot that Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda, whenever he saw Talmidei Chachamim, he used to get up from his throne, run to them, hug them, kiss their hands. He would call them Rabbi, Rabbi, Mori, Mori, Maran Zichron Rucha. Also symbolized that he would see B'nai Torah, biyotzei mekelav. Wow, and he'd be so happy. And you can see so many videos. He's visited by, and he would give them brachot with such chavivut, love and affection, and he was warm like that. Agaon Chaim David, at his Levaya, at Maran Zichron Rucha's Levaya, he said a story that's already world famous, but it just portrays how he was mamash libam shel Yisrael, the epicenter, Rabotai, from the times of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It's brought down historically. There has not been a larger Levaya in Eretz Yisrael than Maran Zichron Rucha since the Levaya of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasih. Yadua. Fact. History. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why almost a million people, you know, walked through Kvish Echad to get, you know, to the outskirts of Yerushalayim to be part of that Levaya. Once Maran Zichron Rucha was on the way, he was in he traveled by helicopter when he had to go to certain, you know, far off cities and Eretz Yisrael and stuff. So one time he was traveling, and he had a medical incident mid-travel. He wasn't feeling well. He had started having very, very terrible chest pains. So he says, I'm not feeling well. and he was accompanied by Gaon Chaim David and Rav Ari Deri, his friend, the head of Shas today. So they had them turn around, and they took him immediately to hospital. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was Rambam in Haifa, if I'm not mistaken. So they took him there, and the doctor said, you're having a heart attack now. Oh, no, it wasn't Rambam. It can't have been Rambam, because it must have been Shari Tzedek, because you listen to the story. Anyway, so, or Hadassah. So the doctor said, you're having a heart attack. You need to go for emergency surgery for a bypass. So Maran Zichron Bracha looked at the doctor, and he said, if I wait 3 hours, will I survive? He says, what are you talking about? You're in the middle of a heart attack. What do you mean wait 3 hours? He says, please answer the question. If I wait 3 hours to do this emergency bypass, will I survive? So the doctor thought about it for a second. He says, you probably will. He says, every moment that passes is a sakana, but you probably will. He said, okay, good, I'm going home. He told his son, Chaim David, he said, take me home. Chaim David looked at him and says, Abba, what do you mean go home? You're having a heart attack. You have to have the surgery. He said, take me home. I said, okay. He went home. He went into his room. He closed the door. He stayed there for about 2.5 hours. Came out. He says, okay, I'm ready to go have the operation now. So he went. Came back. They had the operation. Baruch Hashem, was a success. He came out. After he came to a little bit, Chaim David and Rav Ari Deri came over to him. And they asked him, they said, Abba, you know, the suspense is killing us. You have to tell us what was so important in the middle of a heart attack they had to go home for 3 hours. So he said, no, let's try to brush it off. Yeah? So he said, Abba, you have to tell me. So he said, okay. He told him, I was in the middle of writing a tshuva to be matir, a certain aguna. That was one of Maran Zichron Bracha's expertises. By the way, Maran Zichron Bracha, you know, many gdolim have specialties. Like doctors, you have a specialty, right? There's a general doctor. You know, the more general you are in medicine, the less chashuv you are. The more specialized you are, the more chashuv you are. Now, sometimes in Torah, it's like that too. Maran Zichron Bracha was a specialist in all Machmane HaTorah. Every single mikzua b'Torah, Maran Zichron Bracha was the best, the most proficient. And you see from his farim, there was nothing that he didn't touch. All Chelke Shulchan Aruch, all Chelke Ashas, Shisha Sidre Mishnah, everything. Also, you'll see through his, people say, what about Kachem and Tairis? You look through his farim, you'll find Kadashim and Taharot as well. You'll find that too. You find Tabat HaMelech, you find Ma'on Yisrael, you find sometimes in Yabi Omer as well. He dealt with everything. So he says, I was in the middle of writing a tshuva for an aguna. I didn't finish. I had to go look through a few more poskim to solidify the hitir. But I didn't finish yet. He said, I thought to myself that if I go in for the surgery now, you know, I'm an old man, there's always a risk, I might not make it. If I don't make it, this aguna is going to be stuck. And since I started the tshuva, I don't think there's going to be anybody else to be matir her. He knew, he felt a sense of responsibility and a sense of understanding his self-worth as well. And he said, there's nobody else going to be able to be matir her. He says, I cannot leave her hanging like that. There's no greater avin, there's no greater injustice to this aguna than to leave her hanging. Even at the expense of my own person. I asked him if I'm going to survive. He said, yeah, fine, come what may. I went home, I sat down, b'yishuv adat, mid heart attack, sat down, finished the tshuva to be matir naguna. I don't know if you ever, anybody ever here read a tshuva about being matir naguna, let alone write. Anyway, look in Siman Yudzain of Evin Ezer. That's the longest Siman in Evin Ezer, Dine Aguna. You can lose your mind just from reading all the poskim, let alone sitting down to actually write. That's known in the Rabbanut and Dayanut tests in the Rabbanut in Yerushalayim. They're very, very difficult tests. Almost everybody, all of my peers from Kail, everybody I know who took the test, you're allowed to skip 2 questions on the test. There are 2 questions. And each question you have to write a tshuva. So there are 10 questions, you have to answer 8. Now, they go through almost everybody I speak to who takes the test skips agunot, because that's just, nobody touches that. You have to really be super holding. And Maran Zichron went and he finished the tshuva and he said, okay, now, even if I die, at least I'll die peacefully. Do you understand what it means to be the beating heart of Am Yisrael? That means there are many people who are iluim, many people who are geniuses. But sometimes, the more of a genius a person is, the more he's removed from society. You know, geniuses are in a league of their own. That's usually the way it goes. They think fast, they talk fast, you know, they don't usually have a lot of friends because usually people cannot really relate to them. Maran Zichron Avraham was the epitome of Yediata Torah, Geonut BaTorah, Mamash in every aspect, but he always stayed connected to every member of Am Yisrael. Like Rav Zalman Shain said a moment ago, he was able to speak to anybody. One time he was on a train. He was visiting France to give chizuk one time. He used to travel to abroad a lot. And he was visiting France, and they were on a train. And they were traveling. And Stav was learning, and he looked out the window for a moment, and he saw a train station. So he asked the person who was traveling with him from France, he says, what station is this? He says, this is the train station of the city of Mitz, you know, which is mispronounced by many as Mitz. Ever heard of Rabbi Eliezer Mitz? Mitz is juice. The city in France that Rabbi Eliezer, yeah, Baal Sefer Yiraim was from, was the city of Mitz. Yeah? So he told him, this is the city of Mitz. He said, on the spot. He said, Rabbi Eliezer Mitz. He says, Tzarech laredit po. That wasn't part of the plan. He says, we have to go off, find the nearest shul. He says, I want to give a shiur. On the spot. He gave a whole shiur on Sefer Yiraim's Shita, on Tosefet Shabbat, which is Yud Gimel Vachetzi Dakot, Shloshet Rebe'im Min, Kodem Ashkiyah, which the Bir Halacha speaks lengthily, on the spot, without preparing, Anachnu B'Mitz. He says, we're in Mitz. You have to give a shiur, L'chvodo Shel Rabbi Eliezer M'Mitz, on the spot. So, do you understand the mind of somebody like that? Let Den Bar Enash. He's not, it's hard to believe that he was Yelud Isha. But, on the other hand, look at him. I don't know, there's plenty of videos online that you can see recordings of his famous Matzei Shabbos Shiurim. Anybody ever watch any of those?
Yeah.
Oh, just a Bach Shemo. That was a totally different crowd. That even in that crowd, there were plenty of Talmidei Chachamim. But he knew that the shiur was geared towards the Amcha. Regular, you know, Balabatim, even Ami Haaretz, and he wanted everybody to walk out with something. And he dumbed down some of the most complicated things in Halacha. He really, you know, he said interest as she taught, and said, Bet Yosef Amar Kacha, Mamash Dam did it. You know, regular run of the people walking out, Ken Arab Diber al Bet Yosef Ayom, Machloket Bet Yosef Abach. You know, like he walked out giving them that inspiration that they too own a piece of the Torah Kedusha. And he told them stories and jokes and all sorts of things, Mamash, in order. Ohevet HaBeriyot U'Mekarevan LaTorah. Rabotai, it's an unreal thing. It's an uncanny ability to be able to connect to every level of society. From the greatest Am Haaretz, and he gave him chizuk, even to children. You see, sometimes I spoke to children. Ata lomed Torah. Wow. Eze yofi. Ata tiyeh gadol b'Yisrael. And kids, he used to give them candies. And then, Gdolei Olam cowered in his presence. Gdolei Olam were afraid to open their mouths in his presence, because they knew that he was Marad de Chol Talmuda. He was the master of Kol Torah, Kol Torah Kula. And yet, he didn't make you feel like that. Mamash, like a friend, like a loving father, a loving grandfather, pat on the cheek, sometimes a hard slap on the cheek. A month before my wedding, when I went to, I got married here, so I left Eretz Yisrael to go get married, and then I went back a few months later. So I went to ask for his bracha before I went back. I took my future shver along with me. He asked me to get him, so we went. On my wedding day, I got 12 slaps, I remember. 6 on the right and 6 on the left. Orech yamim bimina, bismona, osher v'chavod. Boom, boom. He had big hands like the Night of Yehuda. Adam chazak meod. And he gave, that was out of affection. It was mamash ahava. Everybody knew. The more he slapped you, the more he loved you. Mamash. He was oozing Ahavat Yisrael, Yishtabach Shemo. Unreal Ahavat Yisrael. Notwithstanding the times that he had to come out strong against certain issues, you know, it was very, very hard to characterize, because when the need presented itself, very takif. There's plenty of videos where you can see him in those positions too, on certain positions in halakha that he felt were being neglected, or he felt we're being paskined on wrong, or he felt that maybe Bnei Sfarad were acting not in accordance with Manan HaShulchan Aruch. Kegibor yetze, he went out, Gibor b'milchamta shel Torah, ish milchamot, fighting, relentless. But otherwise, in general, or he had always, for those who were Rodef b'nei Torah, those who were rodefet haTorah veHaMitzvot, those in the Israeli government and other, he had very harsh words for them too. And he's famous for that. Because it's so, not because he wanted to hurt them or curse them, whatever. It so pained him, be'imke nishmato, that anybody, how could you touch the Torah? How could you touch the mitzvot? Eretz, Am Yisrael, be'eretz Yisrael, you're going to start finagling with the Torah Kedosha? You normal? That was the heart. The heart of Am Yisrael beat inside Maran Zichron Baracha. Te'e zechuto shel Maran Zichron Baracha, magen v'tzina alenu. You know, there's kim'at, not a shir that I can give or any of my close friends can give. You can't, forget about halakha, but on any topic, you can't approach kim'at any topic in halakha or in Torah without opening up one of Manan Sfarim. And it's written in such a clear way, such a concise manner, such a definitive, understandable way. Some are written in more, you know, harder to understand styles. And I'm just coming from a siyum now. I always, I'm you know, a shtickle talmid of Rav Olbaum. I don't know if you know from the neighborhood over here. One of, you know, probably one of America's most underrated gedolim is Rav Olbaum. Very, very tanua. He's a tremendous gaon and posik. He told me, and by the way, he has a shelot u'tshuvot minchat chen. He quotes Yabi Omer like it's going out of style. All the time. And he told me, b'fei male, every time I open up Yabi Omer, he says, and I, there's a story with him also, man, maybe not for now, between him and the and Maran Zichron Baracha, that he once asked me to bring a long story. Anyway, but he told me every time he opens up Yabi Omer, he gets Chalisha Sadas and a headache. He says, you open up Yabi Omer, you walk, it's like, it takes the wind out of your sails. If you think you're someone, if you think you know anything in Torah, just open up Yabi Omer and read a paragraph, and that's the strongest form of Musar. Sometimes as a Musar Sefer, I learn Yabi Omer. Why? Just to be mashpil. Mashpil geima de aretz, magbiya shefanim ad marom. In order to lower yourself a little bit, you want to know how really insignificant you are, open up Yabi Omer. That puts things in perspective. Sefer Musar mamash. That's Rav Olbaum, a gaon. That's what he told me. And a headache. Boggles the mind. How? This is pre-Google, pre-Otzar HaChokhmah, pre-all of that. Today, you know, you put in a search, boom, you can write a tshuva, yeah, AI, yeah, yeah, artificial intelligence tshuva, you put it in, yeah, that's, you know, I know, unfortunately, a lot of Mechabrei Sfarim today, you know, it's very easy, it's not like it once was. Maran Zichron Baracha introduced us to Sfarim that we never otherwise would have even known about, forget about known the Sfarim, even to how to pronounce the names. Anyway, would you have known about a Gaon that wrote us, Gaonim, from Tkufat HaGeonim, not Tkufat HaGeonim, right after Chatimat HaTalmud. There's a sefer from the Geonim called Basar Al Gabe Gechalim. You know that? Gaon. How would I have ever heard of that if not for Yabi Omer? Sefer HaShulchan. What? There's a sefer like that? Sefer HaAitim. Rabbeinu Yehuda Bar Barzilai Bar Barceloni. Hanasi Bar Barceloni, quoted by the Rosh and Rashba all the time. How would I have known these things? Mamash, all of these gdolim sasim likrato began Eden. He mamash promoted a whole encyclopedia of lost kimat sfarim that were lost from Am Yisrael. Nobody would have ever heard about them if not for him. Rabotai, his zechut lives on. His Torah lives on. Tzadikim b'mitatan kruim chayim. Like the Gemara says in Masechet Ta'anit, Yaakov Avinu lomet. Yaakov Avinu didn't die. Why? Because tzadikim don't die. Their what they leave over, their heritage, their legacy always lives on. Now, legacy is a very fluffy word, right? Legacy, heritage, you know, those are nice words. Sfarim, piskei halacha, the whole world stands on these pesakim. Kol gdolei olam knew that he was the chosen one for this generation. Hagaon Rabbi Yisrael Abuchatzera, the Baba Sali, told him, used to stand up for him, he was much older than Maran Zichron Baracha. And because of that, Maran Zichron Baracha didn't like to used to visit Netivot too much, because every time he visited, the Baba Sali used to invite him over and used to stand up for him in Lokom Haton. That made him tremendously uncomfortable, so he avoided going to Netivot a lot because of that. And the Baba Sali told, I don't remember if it was son or his son-in-law, he said that the neshama, he was Megale, he was also Menumad Benisim, tremendous Mekubal, he said, Beruach Kodesho, that the neshama of Maran Zichron Baracha, HaKadosh Baruch, it was from the Tekufat HaGeonim, Ravai Gaon, Rav Shira Gaon, Rav Tzemach Gaon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu plucked that neshama, he saved it, he put it into a, in Otzar, he kept it in a chamber, and he kept it for a generation that would be enveloped in darkness, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would then open that chamber, and his light would shine forth to the entire world. Mamash pshuto kemashma'o. Tehei nishmato tzura tzura chayim. Tehei zchukim magen v'tzina alenu. Everybody should. This is what I like to do on any Yahrzeit, but to open up a sefer, any sefer, Baruch Hashem, the base medrash is fully stocked with his sefarim. Metukim midevash v'nofet sufim. Open up a sefer tonight, tomorrow. Learn some divrei Torah to do chesed to his neshama, and bevaday ubevaday he'll be ben litziyosher alenu ve'al kol b'nei Yisrael amin ken yi ratzon. Tizkur shem rabot na'imot v'tovot, and thank you for hearing me out and having me. Yeah, just three titles.